Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back here on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Here on The Drive, remember in the 5 o'clock hour, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets to be at the season finale as the Texans host the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Clint, that game could be for it all, potentially, depending on what happens this weekend. So it could be a very important game. Or it could be a game in which you get to just cheer on your Texans that are about to make the playoffs. Who knows? But you got a chance in the 5 o'clock hour to win a pair of tickets for 2 weeks from now at NRG as the Texans finish out the regular season against the Indianapolis Colts. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans. Heard from him. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud, Nick Cayley as well later on. But D'Amico just spoke with the media ahead of this game and had a few things to say. I know we looked at each other a couple of times there while he was speaking. There were a couple of things he had to say that jumped out. I think to both of them. What jumps out to you first?
Well, look, I think there was a couple of things, but I think first and foremost, this week's opponent. I think the Chargers. I do agree that this is a playoff caliber matchup. The game means something. I think this is a very good defense. It's got an offense. It's got some playmakers on it. It's got a quarterback that can make plays with his legs and his arm. And is obviously going to leave it all out there because they need it. You know, they're playing for something. So this week's matchup is a big time matchup. And then I'll stay in that team mode there. Boy, D'Amico Ryan's talking about his team felt like this was last week was a playoff-like moment for his team. I hope they fare better this week and actually in the playoffs. If last week was a playoff performance, it could be a quick run in the playoffs.
Which really makes his reaction after the game even more surprising, right? Like if you had been honing in all week long, hey guys, we got to pick it up a notch. When I hear that here, like this is a playoff like type of atmosphere or approach, like you would think after that game against the Raiders, you would just hear the disappointment.
Well,
in
you would
voice.
Think the expectations would be a little bit different.
The standard,
than what we saw Sunday. Just winning versus a bottom of the barrel football team, you wouldn't think would be enough. But playoffs are win in advance, no matter how you do it, and that's about all they accomplished on Sunday was winning and advancing. So maybe that's what the head coach is talking
about.
I did
like him going into the. Like this is our formula, him going into that being the big thing that's kind of helped this shift into not just a 7-game winning streak, but getting them to this point of they have their formula and they have been playing to their formula.
Well, again, I mean, just a really what I would say unorthodox approach to football. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a D'Amico Ryans thing. I think that's as much D'Amico, I mean, as much Nick Caserio as it is D'Amico, but the year to year thing is wild to me. I just because when I hear him talking about this formula, you know, it's clear, you know, ball control, run the football, don't make mistakes, you know, sacrifice aggression and points and big plays and explosive plays, sacrifice all that to minimize mistakes and negative plays, and just do just enough offensively, play dominant defense, be good on special teams, which is typically the formula that a defensive-minded head coach takes on, right? But you couple that with last year, the talk was five-headed monsters and being explosive. This year, all of a sudden, it's you know, we're gonna run, we're gonna do things a little bit more conservative on offense, and there just never is an identity. And you know, the thing that's interesting about that is, like, how does CJ fit in? You know what I mean? Like, how does CJ get better? How do the guys that are here? And really, it starts with CJ because he's a quarterback. But if year to year everything's going to change around the quarterback, so much so that you're like, you approach offensive football differently, like, that's a lot for a quarterback to stomach. That's a lot for a quarterback to weather. Yes, CJ's going to get better just because he's a pro and he's longer in the tooth and he's seen more of what an NFL defense can throw at you and he's dealt with more adversity. And so he's going to get better as a person, a player. But does CJ ever really get better in an offense? Does CJ ever really get better in the identity of an offense? Like, it's strange how much they talk. Not strange, I mean, it's just unorthodox, right? It's just not what I'm used to or that I would strive to do. There's so much talk about how everything starts completely over in the offseason from year to year, and the formula is totally different. And it took us a while to figure out what the formula is. All of that is interesting from D'Amico Ryans to me. That's fascinating. We'll see, you know, if they can ever get this thing going offensively the way they need to or not. But it's interesting to hear that.
Yeah, and the thing is, I will say, it's not the easiest formula to advance repeatedly in the playoffs, like win two, three, four games, but I think this year in this field, I think it is a formula that you could look at and say, okay, I can see if the Texans play to this, that they can advance.
Yeah.
They can advance. Now, some of these games are going to be tight, but it is doable. I think in previous years, this formula, I don't know that I feel like this is a formula that is going to allow you to get to where they want to get to.
Well,
and I do feel like I feel like this year is different.
Yeah, it's just there's just a big question of you know, does CJ Stroud fit the formula? I mean, that's really what this thing boils down to is because the margin for error in this offense at the quarterback position is just so slim that you wonder if CJ's going to fit that. If CJ's ever going to commit wholeheartedly to it and just be that conservative, boring, make the right decision. In you know,
you'd almost say that's even more important than making the off schedule.
Oh, no question.
In this,
absolutely no question. And so you know, you just wonder is that you know you put a CJ Stroud in an offense. You know, that's a little bit higher paced, a little bit more spread, a little bit more tempo driven, a little bit more of a vertical attack with the personnel to do that, including the play caller. You know, I think he immediately fits that system, right? Now, I'm not saying that's what the Texans should do. I'm just saying he immediately fits that particular system, which last year they were in, but the offensive line didn't allow it to happen. Or maybe he was the one that didn't communicate and get the play the right plays, the right protections. Maybe it was his shortcoming. Whoever it was.
All of it, yeah.
Whoever it was, it just didn't get done last year. Now, all of a sudden, we're back into this conservative approach. And you just wonder, like, CJ's back here juggling all these different identities and different approaches to football damn near every year of his career so far. Like, at what point does he get to settle into something and feel confident in it? Yeah. So that's the formula. To hear it said that way, the formula this year took us a while to figure it out. But we feel good about it now after that game versus Las Vegas.
It almost feels like they figured it out when Davis was the quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. I think it's fair.
To figure out, all right, this is how we got to execute it.
David Mills.
And now he's, which I think kind of goes to your point of, does this fit, you know, this formula fit, at least offensively?
Davis Mills, sorry.
Does this formula fit what CJ can do? All right, 713-572-4610. If you want to text in on the show, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in as well on that. I listening to D'Amico there, and we've listened to him since the game ended. I think all would agree that Sunday's game against the Raiders was a disappointing game. You're happy with the win, but disappointed the way it looked, and understand like that's not going to be good enough to move on in the postseason.
I'm sure they vomited in the stands.
I'm curious. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Who were you more disappointed in Sunday? Was it the offense, and we understand the struggles they had offensively, or was it the defense? The offense scored basically 16 points in this game if you take away the pick six, and they had 270 total yards, 83 rushing, 187 passing, no turnovers, did pretty good on third down, 7-15. The defense gave up 21, 315 total yards, 145 rushing, 170 passing, got the pick six and the turnover, and the Raiders were all right on third down, 6-14. In this game, whose performance were you more disappointed in coming in the game on Sunday?
No, without a doubt, 10 out of 10 times it's the offense.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, even more so after watching the film. The CJ misses early. The CJ misses early are just killer because of, again, the style of offense. And when your quarterback misses those throws in the ocean, then now that equates to a slow start by your offense, right? So it's not just, well, he just missed a couple of those. No, it equates to an extremely slow start. And then you look at, you know, Nick Caley, and for whatever reason, in critical situations when there's tangible evidence right now that the outside run, that toss that they were trying to run this week, which, again, another play that just comes out of nowhere every now and then versus a certain opponent, right? It was clear that was not going to work. It was clear, like, they were abusing our edges the first two times we ran it. And then somehow on third and one, we come back and we're going to do it again. Same deal. We're going to do it again. It gets stuffed. You end up kicking. Like those little things like that of just, I don't know if it's the inability to adjust in real time without a halftime to go stop and think. I don't know where that kind of stuff comes from, but for it to be week 16 and you're still seeing some of those things, again, you look in the fourth quarter. Now, we ended up scoring a touchdown in this drive, so I know a lot of folks, we scored a touchdown, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, Nico Collins is out of the game half the snaps. I mean, you look up and you got three tight ends in the game and Higgins, and we're throwing the ball to Higgins. Like, some of the stuff that you see offensively, some of the glaring things, along with some of the more, you know, details of the game when you watch the All-22 is just, it leaves a lot to be desired on the offensive game plan and adjustment and Nick Caley front, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because we always talk about it. We always talk about it, Ron, like, in critical moments. Like, we watched the Rams. No Davante Adams. And Puka Nacua has a big-time start, and then he dies off in the second quarter. And they come out at halftime, and they go out there and they throw it to him. They move him, throw it to him all over the field. And we're talking about, boy, I'd like to see Nico used like that. And in reality, I mean, it's the fourth quarter of a game where you're losing at the time, and Nico's on the sideline for half the plays. Not even the game, right? So it's now that happens throughout the whole game. I don't know why Nico comes off the field so much.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I'm
not surprised by any of this. I'm not surprised by any of it, but I'm just saying we're sitting around and we being the fans and talking about, damn, well, how come we can't use a guy like this, 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 or that? Well, in reality, I mean, we're not even, like, you look up there and there's one receiver on the field and it's the rookie that ain't made a damn play in a month.
Yeah. Now, listen, the offense to me was really disappointing because a lot of it came from CJ and his problems,
yeah.
Which is the guy on the offense for me. CJ and Nico are the guys on the offense that I feel like, you know, are the ones that I can kind of depend on a bit. But I've seen the offense do that. The defense to me, I'm not surprised because the quarterback position is such a big deal, and Nick Caley and company have been such a big deal all year. But I was someone likes to mess with me on the text line. I was flabbergasted by the defense's performance. I could not believe the Raiders, who threw for 29 yards passing the previous week and ran for 49 or something like that, get 315 total yards of offense and got two multiple big touchdown plays in this game. And Geno, I mean, I don't want to say he outplayed CJ because he threw a just a horrific pick six. But outside of that play, I mean, he was playing the position at least as well as CJ was, or if not better. I cannot believe the Raiders got up that many points in the game. And I cannot believe, and I don't know where you and Tyler were, but I can't believe that I was thinking, oh, my God, if they have to punt this ball on 3rd and 20, oh, my God, if they have to punt this ball, I've been watching this game, and I'm not sure if the Texans' defense, which is the best in the league, and really, I don't know if it's that close. I was sitting there thinking, boy, I don't know if they're going to be able to hold them from not kicking a field goal here by the way they were playing. So for them to give up that many points and Ashton Jeanty to have that type of game and the struggles we've seen the Raiders offense have this year against lesser defenses because every other defense that they will play other than the Texans is lesser. That one to me was I was stunned. I was stunned by the performance from the Raiders offense against that defense. Why I thought a shutout was in the cards. Easily in the cards. And they got up three touchdowns on them. That one to me, and it does feel like much more is about the offense other than as opposed to defense. Two techs in a row, offense, because we're supposed to get right. We were supposed to get right offensively the last two games. It didn't. Offense, CJ looked terrible. I hate to say it, but it's true. Text line also coming in. Nah, the defense. Raiders should have never scored 20-plus points on us, period, in this game. It was disappointing on both sides. But boy, I mean, I would have thought of that game even if the offense struggled that they would be playing it. It'd be 16-3 or something like that. I didn't think we'd be talking about the defense having that type of performance. All right, it's Tuesday. A little real or fake. I say a statement. You let me know if that statement is real or fake. We'll do that coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the other side.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I mean, you are really finding these different renditions. Like, I feel like you set aside an hour or something and just start really going to find the different renditions of these Christmas music instrumentals.
Yeah, man, I love a little change up with the Christmas music. I love different renditions.
You guys watched any Christmas movies recently?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Laid on the floor last night and watched Grinch with the girls.
Did you? Yeah.
Oh, they're really into Grinch, man. Laney runs around, Ginch, Ginch.
I'm trying to remember which
one I watched.
Until we
put it on that TV, Chief.
I walked in the house. The worst of all the Christmas movies was on Elf.
Get the hell out of here. Man. That's a top fiver.
It's not.
You really don't like Elf?
I don't.
And I like Will. You do like Will?
I love Will. I don't like Elf. It doesn't do it for me.
That was one of our first we watched this year.
I go the other way. Yeah, with Elf. I went in and started watching I think when they were watching, I think I started sliding to the Everybody Loves Raymond reunion special. go against help. You give me Christmas Story. You give me Christmas Vacation. You know,
Santa Claus.
You give me Santa Claus 1 and 2. 2 is my favorite. The Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
You know, you give me 4 Christmases, a solid one to me.
Mm-hmm.
Family Stone, great.
What about Bad Santa?
Bad Santa, not bad. Fred Claus, not bad.
That's what I watched last night. Vince. I watched Vince. Fred Claus.
Some good ones out there. There are some good ones. Yeah, man.
Classic Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. So I mean, there's some good ones. Home Alone 1 and 2, obviously they're in there.
The third one can piss off.
Yeah, I don't believe in that kid.
Yeah, that kid's
but,
stupid.
But nah, man, I can't. I just Elf ugh, and USA Real. Just really biting the hand off Turner. USA. Oh, we're gonna play it all night long, like TBS and TNT does a Christmas Story.
About that.
All right.
P-F-F-F-F-F-T.
Yeah. Someone texted in, Elf is stupid. Home Alone is the best. Black people don't like Elf or Will Ferrell. That's not true. That's not true. I think a lot of people in my household like Elf. And I'm a fan of Will in really everything but Elf.
You must have a problem with Zooey Deschanel.
Didn't love Blades of Glory. I'll pull that
out. I love that.
Didn't love Blades of Glory. But.
Sex on ice.
Ricky Bobby, everything else. Yeah, I love Will Ferrell. Oh, Saturday Night Live, love it. It's not Elf.
I think Blades of Glory is like so underrated. That movie makes me laugh.
Properly rated. I think it's properly rated. All right, let's do a little real or fake. I say a statement. You let me know if it's real or fake. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. Real or fake, Tyler, Jacksonville is the best team in the AFC right now. Real or fake? The Jags are the best team in the AFC.
Right now, here today. After that Raiders game, I have to say real. But that is currently as we sit and stand here in this moment.
You're saying you thought that the Texans were the best team in the AFC before the Raiders game? In the AFC?
I would say going into this last. Oh, you're asking. See,
I'm
I was thinking
AFC
South. That's
not
my
the
bad.
South. Yeah,
okay,
AFC.
Okay.
AFC.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Okay. Yeah. That's my bad. I was thinking AFC South and I'd give it to him for a week. But AFC overall, hell no. Not Duval.
You don't think
no.
so?
No. I don't know. Disgusting.
Pull itself together. Clint, Jacksonville is the best team in the AFC, real or fake?
I think it's fake. I would go with Denver. I know they just shellacked them, but I think as a whole
in Denver, yeah.
I would go with Denver. You're talking about a team that's been at the top of the AFC all year long. They're still the team at the top of the AFC right now, I believe, right? They're still the one seed right now. Is that correct? Denver's still the one seed right now?
Yeah, technically.
And so
everybody, but hell, the Texans have a path to the one seed.
Well,
so
I mean, they've been at the top of the AFC all year long. They are currently the one seed, and last week was not a good look. But I would still say that the Denver Broncos are a more dangerous team in the playoffs than the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Cornbread says fake. Ray says fake. Text line coming in. Says real, I don't want to say real.
Go play as a Jaguar.
Because when I watch that team, when I look at that team and I start to, like if I had to pull up the Jags depth chart and I look at that team, that just does not look like the AFC's best team.
Duval.
But in the last month or so, they beat the hell out of the Chargers. Who is a playoff team. I mean, they beat the brakes off the Chargers. And then they went into Denver and beat Denver on the road and controlled that game. And Trevor Lawrence looked like he was in a different level than Bo Nix. Now, I could say that's for that day, but Trevor Lawrence has been looking like this for about a month plus right now. And to me, it would be between Jacksonville and New England at this point right now, or Buffalo. And I think right now, both sides, I think the Jags are playing like the best team in the AFC right now. I'm going to say real. They have been extremely impressive. I understand more now since Friday the feel of of Houstonians and why they just cannot take the Jags serious. But they've had a couple of impressive victories over some playoff teams. And if you're in Jacksonville, they would probably tell you we played the Texans for 8 quarters, and they could say to themselves, 6 to 7 of those quarters, we were the better team.
Yep.
All of what you said might be factual.
29-10 in the fourth quarter and lose.
But Jags are going to jag at some point.
They probably will. All right, Clint, I'm going to start with you. Azeez Alshire being out Sunday was a much bigger loss than I expected. Real or fake?
I think it's real. I think it's real. You know, obviously we've heard D'Amico Ryans multiple days talk about how important he is, the main communicator, the quarterback of the defense. You know, but when you lose Azeez, you don't just lose that. I think you lose, again, a big part of who your identity of who you are. You're talking about a guy in the middle that plays downhill. And you know, you can argue that, hey, EJ Speed came in and plays downhill. You know, you look at Toa Toa, he plays downhill. They all are very similar players. But I think when you lose that quarterback of your defense and that voice, just simply the voice changes. Not taking any shots at Toa Toa, you know, being a different communicator. Just when that voice changes, I think it impacts the defense in a big way.
Yeah, I'm going to say real, too. I knew he was extremely important, but, it seemed like you could argue they had their worst defensive performance against maybe the worst offensive team that they have played this year, and the big thing that was missing was him, right? Like, they had some injuries up front, but the big thing was missing was him, and you saw some of those run plays that were they were getting yards on, and you know, that long touchdown run is one that jumps out to you about him. So, yeah, I was surprised that it appeared he was a bigger deal especially against that offense than he has shown to be. All right, Tyler, real or fake? I'm gonna start with you on this one. The Miami Hurricanes, they have a better chance to pull off an upset over Ohio State than Alabama does over the number one team in the country, the Indiana Hoosiers. Miami's a 9.5-point dog. Bama's a 6.5-point dog. Miami has a better chance to pull an upset over Ohio State than Bama does Indiana. Real or fake?
Oh, I got to go fake. Just because they beat the hell out of my squad, nah, that's fake. Just because my squad couldn't score a touchdown against Miami, no, I'm giving them very little shot to beat Ohio State, and I think that Bama-Indiana game is going to be a hell of a one to watch, so I'm going fake on that one.
Clint, real or fake? Miami has a better chance to pull off an upset over Ohio State than Alabama does over Indiana.
I'm going
to
go real. I think it's a very, very similar matchup to what we saw at A&M. Now, I'm not saying A&M is Ohio State or vice versa. I'm just saying you're going into a hostile environment. It's going to be really, really loud. It's going to have a ton to deal with. They've already done it. We really don't. Let's be honest. Well, I think we've talked about this before. Like, we really don't know who Ohio State is, right? And really, the only the team that played Texas out of the chute that beat them 14-7 or whatever the hell it was, like,
that's it.
That team Miami's going to be able to damn sure play with. And the team that
lost 13-10 to Indiana. Come on,
man.
Championship.
Come on, man. So, like, is Indiana really that good, or is Ohio State not quite as good as we thought? So, yeah, I think Miami is going in there.
I think both of them are going to be games.
Oh, I think they're going to be hella games. Yeah. But I think Miami's going in there with a very similar approach to what they just did at A&M. Maybe obviously it's going to be, I haven't checked the weather, but I imagine it's going to be a little colder up there. So that could be an issue. But man, I got to believe that Miami's got a lot of confidence, man. We just did it. In A&M, they got some dudes now. I'm not saying they're Ohio State. I know Ohio State's got three dudes that are in the top 10 in the Heisman finalists, but they got some dudes. So I think Miami's in familiar territory where they're headed. I don't know that we can say the same about that other game.
Yeah, the other – Ty Simpson.
I like him a lot.
And Beck. There's a bit of a difference there. Yeah, I trust Simpson a lot more. All right, coming up, we'll hear from the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, as he will speak to the media coming up next on the draft.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive here on a Tuesday, a couple days ahead of Christmas. Hopefully everybody's enjoying the holiday season. And thanks for rocking with us. If you are working, if you're hanging, whatever you're doing, thanks for hanging out with us here on The Drive. Remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets in the 5 o'clock hour to the Colts-Texans finale at NRG. So stay tuned and be up and alert in the 5 o'clock hour for your chance to win. Let's head to NRG now and catch the Texans offensive coordinator, Nick Caley.
We see Jay about some of the nuances of the Chargers defense, Jesse Minter. What are some things that jump out, some pieces you kind of feel they put their stamp on?
Yeah, well, I think they do a really good job of, you know, eliminating and reducing the amount of explosive plays. They play good football. They tackle well. They play hard. They set edges up front. I think they're second level. Linebackers pursue the football with great speed and violence, and I think they're well coordinated. I mean, I think he's done a really good job.
What were some of the challenges that the Raiders presented, and what were some of the issues that you guys had as an offense that kept you from running the ball the way you wanted to?
Yeah, well, they do a great job. Pat Graham does a really good job. They played really hard. They gave us some five-down structures, which we expected. I think, you know, they played great with great effort. We didn't play clean enough nearly to start the game, especially on the edges. The edges were sloppy to start, had a couple negative plays, and we're going to get back on track. So, again, it was reminiscent. The feeling of that game reminded me of the Tennessee game at home, where it took us, you know, up until fourth quarter to really get things going again. But we didn't play clean enough, especially in the run game early on. And they played well. You know, they played hard, they played well, and they were disruptive up front.
What would you like to see from the offense based on the things that you all could control?
Yeah, just more consistent fundamentals. Consistent fundamentals, starting the right way. We've had glimpses. We've made some progress, but that wasn't the way we wanted to start it. Not pleased with that. I don't think anybody was, and it wasn't just one person. It was all of us, coaches, players. We've got to do a better job than that. But more consistency. Better fundamentals, and especially starting the game the right way. The drive starts especially.
CJ said after the game on Sunday that he felt like in the beginning his time was off and maybe he was rushing things a little bit. When you went back and watched the film, could you also see that as well?
Yeah, I think, I talked to him when he comes off the sideline. I think there's some throws he certainly wanted back, but, didn't anticipate anything going through the game, and I think he settled in fine. And just, by the time we ended up getting moving, especially in the second half, he was playing with good poise, sees the field well. But again, I think it was everybody. It was the run games, the pass game. We just didn't play clean. You go in there and, in hindsight, wish, the third drive of the game would have stuck in some more runs. That I can do a better job of that, to settle some things down and the totality of it. We all got to do a better job.
How happy are you?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how happy are you to see that Nico Collins was selected to second consecutive pro?
Yeah, I think it's a testament to him. Really happy for him. He's a great teammate. I've said that. I think of the world of him, and I think he's an elite player. That's an elite person, and he sets the model for what we want here. Just by the way he behaves and the way he goes about his day, and couldn't happen to a better person that's more deserving than him.
Hey Nick, how would you assess where this offense is at this point in the season? Are you, and I don't mean in terms of just production, but in terms of learning this new offense, yeah, the installation of it, are you about where you had hoped you'd be? Or?
Yeah. I would like to have a little more consistency, and I think we've made strides doing that. I know we've made strides doing that, but I feel like from a knowledge standpoint, from an understanding of what we're trying to do, the mechanics of the operation, getting out of the huddle, movements, motions, formations, understanding the intent of the plays, I feel like those guys have done a really good job of that, and they understand that. And like anything else, we just oftentimes some of the miscues, some of the negative plays, some of the missed opportunities are lack of obviously execution, but that execution comes down to usually poor fundamentals or not playing consistent enough in certain moments. And and certainly, like, you know, like I said, I can help with some of the calls too, for sure.
What is the confidence level or maybe challenge of using what Jawar's done the last 2 weeks and mixing in the perfect blend of Woody Marks and Nick Chubb to run the ball and maybe even throw it to those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I have confidence in all those guys. I think they've done a good job. Jawar's been consistent. Like, that's consistently who he's been. Woody does a great job too, and then Nick's steady as hell as well. So when those guys are called up and it's their time, I mean, you know, Nick had an explosive run for 30 yards in a very key part of the game for us. It was a huge play in the game. I have a lot of confidence in those guys and a lot of confidence throwing the ball to him too. I mean, you know, that never crossed my mind.
What about yourself, though? Because I'm in New England and stuff. There always seem to be, like, multiple backs making plays in big games at the same time. No, you weren't calling the offense, but you observed that. Do you believe in that, like, multiple guys? Is there a perfect mix? Is there a feel?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of good players. I think that, you know, each week's a little bit different. I have no issues throwing the ball to any one of the five eligibles. I think every year is different. Every team's different. I have a lot of faith in Woody, Jawar, Nick. Those guys have all done good things. And when the ball finds itself to them, great. And we have times where we're scheming things open too. But we also have a lot of other guys too. We have a deep receiver room. We have, you know, production at the tight end position, and the backs have done a great job too. So we have a lot of guys that have helped us throughout the year in different ways. And, you know, sometimes there's games that go one way to certain guys or, you know, units, and sometimes it goes the other way. But have a lot of faith in all those guys, Landry. I really do.
I know Higgins made a big play for you, a real pivotal one. But is there a way to maybe do more to expand on that? There have been times where it seemed like he was going to be more of the offense, where he got like a 5-catch game. But what do you hope to do week in and week out with Jaden?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, he's a big part of our offense. Like, he really is. It goes down to what are we seeing, what personnel groupings are we deploying, what is the structure of the defense, what is the situation in the game, where are we at in the progressions. I mean, there's a lot of things that factor into that. He's done a great job. He's continued to get better, got a lot of confidence in Jaden.
Maybe that's part of the answer, but what, specifically to Landry's question, what is the balance in ensuring that you get guys who, like Jawar, obviously you all know what he's been able to do, but he's shown that he can be a 100-yard runner. Nick Chubb has shown he can do things. Like, what is the balance in trying to get those guys touches and utilize their strengths, even though you got three guys?
Yeah, I think the balance, you want balance in terms of, it depends what you're trying to do distributing the ball. And in the run game, if you're asking specific to the run game, I think each of those guys, it's healthy to have a mixture of those guys in there too. I mean, you don't want to sit there and wear any specific guy down, especially at that position. There were certain times, you know, early in the season, might be bringing Woody along. He's caught up and also grown within the system too. You look at all the three of those guys, and then Dare too, like in terms of like being able to play some football on all downs. Those guys have played on first, second, and third down. So the balance for me is, it's whatever the situation is, it's what the game plan dictates. But I have all the faith in the world in from that standpoint. And then in the passing game too, there's, you know, try to get a screen. They blitz zeros into a screen this past week. We have some isolation routes we'll deploy with those guys too. Woody's had some good production, more in the first half of the season, but that's not a direct result of going away from them. Oftentimes, based on some of the progressions that we have, they may not be at the front of it certain times, and sometimes they are. So, it just depends on what we're trying to do in that moment.
What goes into aggressiveness on, like, say, third and long, couple third down plays paid off for you this week? What is that, a collaborative thing, like whether it's at the end of a half or anything, or is that just like you can decide, or is that something you and D'Amico talk about?
No, I think it, in situations, we're always talking situations. The situation in the game is at end of half, we're always going to be communicating. So, if it's normal down and distance, if I'm asked a question, we'll speak on that. But generally speaking, when it comes to situational end of half, anything that would pertain to a situation in the game that's a non-normal situation, then we'll communicate that. D'Amico does a great job of always communicating.
You've been around a lot of systems and been around some games where there's more entailed into it and what they call December football.
Yep.
When you go heading into this week, there's a lot of things that you all are playing for, a lot of things that the Chargers are playing for. Do you feel that type of feeling, that type of playoff atmosphere kind of?
I think the NFL is highly competitive. So when you get in, we talked about last week, when you get into this time of the year, the margin of error is really, really small. So I think it's what you feel is you feel a continuous from start to finish. You feel a team that's improved in every aspect in terms of fundamentals, in terms of, again, talking about the intent of knowing, you know, where we're at offensively pertaining to our system. And I think you're getting guys that are growing within the system, coaches, players that are growing in the system. So practices get cleaner. They get a little tighter. There's tightened focus as we get down the stretch, and I think that's the beauty of playing in the National Football League, and I think that's the case, you know, in the other places that I've been to. You experience that, and you know, guys take a lot of pride and want to practice well and want to play well, and got a great opportunity against a really good opponent, and you want to be at your best.
You don't have Ursary at left tackle. You don't have a lot of guys that have played a lot of left tackle in the National Football League. Are there certain skills that maybe you would look from one guy versus another when you're deciding who that is to replace Ursary if you don't have him? Or is there a certain hey, we just got to figure out who fits best at this spot and adjust around?
Yeah, we want to try to get the five best guys out there. And certainly, like, you know, is it help having some experience? Sure. You know, you look at a guy like, we talked about Titus before, but like Titus has outside the inside flex. But you want to be able to get a guy that obviously has confidence, comfortable out there. And you know, if they played the position, obviously it helps. But we're going to try to get the five best out there however we can that communicate, that are cohesive with each other. And I think that's what we're in the process of doing right now, is getting all that, you know, trying to figure that out and solidify everything.
That is Houston Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley. We've already heard from head coach D'Amico Ryans, and we got C.J. Stroud coming later in the show. But before we do that, we got to react to the offensive play caller there. I think that is, look, I love hearing from everybody. But right now with this team and its playoff hopes on the line, I think it's going to come down to this offense. So the biggest listen, in my opinion, is who we just heard from. So we will react to that. And I don't know if y'all have seen this. I don't know if y'all have seen this, but we have possibly the costliest dumbass move an NFL player has ever made. Holy cow. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.